SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rise and grind. It's a Friday morning here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, the early line. It's Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. And over the next 2 hours, the hottest topics in sports, we've got you covered. Joe, it's Friday. Hard work this week. Let's finish it off in style.
I am ready here, Donnie. Madness will be upon us soon enough, so should be a fun next month and a half, that's for sure.
There we go. Profitable night for DRS. Hopefully, Joe, you profited as well. But today, a brand new slate starts. And also, we're going to go over college basketball, the NBA, and much, much more. The 7-7, the hottest topics right now. If you're watching college basketball and you know Pistol Pete Maravich, well, then you also know Detroit Mercy's Antoine Davis. Looks like he's going to finish 3 points shy of the all-time college basketball scoring record. That is, a squad lost yesterday to Youngstown State. Now, the question's going to be, Joe, do they get to play any postseason basketball under 500? There's a possibility they can go to the CBI, but the school would have to front 50 grand to get into that tournament, and they still have to be invited to that tournament.
Yeah, no, let's just assume it's not going to happen, and just kudos to this kid. That record has been around, Donnie, since 1970. That's when that record was first initiated there with Pistol Pete. So for all of these decades, nobody's even come close. And for the kid, and he had a 3-point shot late with as time was running out there in the final couple of seconds, didn't make it. They certainly tried to get him enough opportunities. Either way, impressive career, man. Hard to see anybody coming close to that. Could be one of those records that just never gets broken here, Donnie.
That's amazing, too, because freshmen weren't even allowed to play basketball when Pistol Pete was coming through at LSU. And it just goes to show you, Joe, how impressive a feat it is. Tens of thousands of players have played since Pistol Pete Maravich played college basketball Division I, and he still holds that record. Davis, phenomenal career. We'll see if he gets one more chance to actually break that. Let's flip it over to the NBA. How about this? Newsflash, Kyrie and Luka played well together, and the Mavericks beat the Philadelphia 76ers, Joe.
Yeah, well, it certainly took a big effort there for those two down the stretch, because they blew another 27-point lead. They lost to the Lakers, and then they had a 24-point lead or 25-point lead last night against the Sixers, and it took Doncic and Kyrie going, all right, this is ridiculous, and went absolutely off in the second half in order to be able to get it done. Hey, Sixers gave him a run for it, but at some point, Dallas, get some stops, will you? My goodness.
Yeah, you've been talking that for a while, because we know the offense is there, as both of those superstars scored 40-plus points. Then you look at the actual score line, like, whoa, man, play a little bit of defense so you guys don't need 40 and 40 just to be able to hang on. When we talk about hockey, which isn't that much here on this program, I love to talk about hockey when records are set to fall. Take a look at the Bruins, the fastest team in NHL history to 100 wins. Joe, they're on pace to lead NHL history in wins overall and also points. An impressive feat by the Bruins.
Very impressive. But, you know, we have been down this road before with some record-breaking regular season teams. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does it mean, Donnie, if you ain't hoisting that cup at the end?
Yeah, doesn't mean all that much at this point. You're right. Yeah, hey, boy, we spent a lot of energy breaking records in the regular season. We also saw it in the NFL with the New England Patriots going unbeaten in the regular season. What did that get them? Absolutely nothing. No rings to add and no extra hardware. Let's welcome in the radio audience here listening and watching live to the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159 on a Friday morning. It's Joe and Donnie, the hottest topics in sports we're going over. The Ravens are in the news, Joe, for mainly the wrong reasons lately. F- for their training staff, as they were voted from the NFLPA for their team. Also, are they going to sign their franchise quarterback? They've been bickering. But now we're starting to bicker with the GM from players in different positions. The GM of the Ravens basically said, hey, man, it's not my fault. We keep drafting these wideouts. They're not working out. when Rashad Bateman goes, it ain't my fault that it's not working out. Why don't you do your job? Now, it looks like the sides apologized, tweets were erased from Twitter, but the Ravens, it's not a family atmosphere right now.
Yeah, well, no, it's really not. And we kind of, we were hearing hints of this, Donnie, at the end there, and a lot of it surrounding Lamar, but there are a lot of finger pointing going on. That's what happens when you don't perform up to expectations. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Ouch.
Seems like it. Seems like it. And also, let's keep it in the NFL waves here where finger pointing in somebody else's fault. How about Saints star running back Alvin Kamara pleading not guilty to assault charges in Las Vegas? It looks like that court date's going to be set for just before training camp. So, voila, more distractions for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, kept kicking that can down the road for last year, didn't they?
Like, it's a good pun.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The video does not lie. So the video evidence is pretty intriguing. I can't wait to see exactly how this thing ends up. But who knows? Maybe it'll get pushed down even further down the road.
As they say, they got you in 4K, man. How can you deny it? Well, we'll see what happens here. Good lures and a lot of money. Sometimes you get you out of some of these equations. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, the NFL doesn't have to wait to rule on anything against the Shield. They can do what they want here. Two quick updates here. LeBron is going to be reevaluated now in 3 weeks. That's going to hurt. But the Golden State Warriors, Steph, he's back on the mend.
Yeah. LeBron, L.A., thanks for playing. Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. They're going to defend. They are going to defend.
Mm. It's a Friday morning on the grid. Stick with us. Keep it right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one, full effect right here on the early line. It's Joe and Donnie. We got you for a couple hours to have some fun with. There is a massive NBA slate tonight, which we are going to cover. But as we like to do to sort of set that table, how did the night, what happened the night before to set us up for tonight? Well, the Washington Wizards, 119-108 over the Toronto Raptors. Joe and I talked about this yesterday. These two teams now neck and neck in the playoff race. One team now 31-33, the Toronto Raptors, and the Washington Wizards 30-32. If we take a look at the starters, whenever the new big three in Washington, right? Kuzma, Porzingis, and Beal. Take a look at Kuzma and Porzingis last night. 30 points and 25 points respectively here. You did have a decent night from Toronto on offense, but not enough to get the job done. The Washington Wizards closed in this game as a slight dog, end up winning the basketball game by close to, actually over double digits at this point. Good win for the Wizards here in those murky waters, Joe, of the East.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And both of these teams are going to be in a battle straight down. I think they have one more against each other here coming up. But what a fantastic way these last two games with the Wizards really starting to come into their own here. And I think Kuzma, I think he started the game. He made the first 10 points for the Wizard. Like, it was just he went off and he was beating Toronto by himself, and then ultimately very nice end to the game for the Wizards, who usually have a great knack of losing games late like this, Donnie. Yeah. But they put it away last night, so impressive stuff.
That's the way you do it. Second quarter, 35 points there for the Wizards in the second half. Both quarters, the third quarter and the fourth quarter, no letdowns there. 30 points in each. And sometimes in the NBA and also college basketball, you live and die by the three-point line. That's what it's about. 27% for the Toronto Raptors, 47% for the home team here, the Washington Wizards. They pick up the victory there. One of the games of the night last night, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Dallas Mavericks, 133-126, a high-scoring affair. And the game really shouldn't have been that close. I mean, you're talking about the Mavericks running away with this one, then the Sixers closing within four. Why is that important? What were the lines yesterday? Fours, three and a halves, and threes once Embiid was announced he was coming back. But it looked like it was one of those games where the Dallas Mavericks absolutely had to win this one. But also, Joe, the Dallas Mavericks were in a good spot. In the NBA, one team had played the night before in Miami on a back-to-back. get on the plane, fly to another road game, and play the Dallas Mavericks. They jumped out to an early lead. By the third quarter, it looks like it was put to bed. But again, that late run by the 76ers. Offense was all over the place, but Luka Doncic, 42-12 last night, also getting into the 40-point market here, was Kyrie Irving. They can take a deep breath now, or can they, Joe?
So it's getting out of control in the NBA here, Donnie. Live betting these games is hilarious. Bookmakers have got to be going out of their mind, because at one point, Donnie, before we got to the start of the third quarter, I mean, the Mavericks were laying 15, 14 and a half, 15 you could have got. And then all of a sudden, with Harden and Embiid looking on, right, you get into third. They go on an 18-0 run, and next thing you know, it's a four-point game, and you're like, oh, this is unbelievable. Now Dallas is only laying three, and you're going, they went on a run, and next thing you know, Dallas is laying 12 again. It's absolutely, the swings in these games have been out of control, and I think they're only going to get crazier, Donnie. So sometimes, to me, I'm better off just going, you know what? Let me watch this game. I'll bet it in-game, because I'm going to be able to get either team at a heck of a lot better number than I probably will pregame.
I'll tell you what's wild, too. You look at the final score, right? Because obviously it easily went over the total. And you live and die by the three-point shot. But look at the Sixers' statistics last night in a losing effort. 58% as a team from the field. 44% from three. 83% from the free throw line. You say, how could you possibly lose that game? Well, when a home team shoots 52% from three-point range. And this isn't like, hey, man, they went 6 of 11 from the field from three. They went 25 of 48. That'll get you in trouble sometimes. But my goodness, if you're going to shoot that many three-point shots, Joe, and make that many of it, there's not much the other team can actually do.
I mean, when your two stars drop in 40 apiece, it's going to be a long day. And it still stayed under 260, which was the prevailing number for the final 7 minutes of that game. And you would think it would fluctuate, but they just kept scoring. It was like, my good. If anybody gets a stop there, maybe two stops in a row, they could have ran away with the game one way or the other. Unbelievable.
He had a glimpse of what that game was going to be, 38-37 by the end of the first quarter. Sixers lose, but the Mavericks win. We'll see where that takes them. They're now 33-31 on the season. Break up the San Antonio Spurs. What about it here? Do we have a playoff run in us here? Two straight wins for the Spurs. Who would have thought that would happen as they improve, Joe, their record down the season to 16-47 with a win over the Pacers, 28-36 now, 110-199, a double-digit win for the Spurs. This certainly damages. We talked about yesterday. It was already going to be a long shot for the Pacers to get into the playoffs, but you were looking and saying, okay, pick up an easy victory here over the Spurs and keep it moving. Not the case here. Pacers lose to the Spurs, and how about that? A win streak now on the horizon for the San Antonio Spurs.
This Indiana team, I mean, and it happened again last night. Indiana had won six straight against San Antonio. I mean, they had been absolutely dominating. And call me absolutely crazy here, but when your best player decides he's too hungover to play in this game here on the road there, Mr. Halliburton, and all of a sudden, and the number keeps rising during the day, Donnie, which tells us, of course, that there's no way he's not playing, right? Yeah, right, sure. So 30 minutes before tip again last night, Halliburton, my knee. Oh, my knee. Yeah, it was his birthday a couple of days ago, and apparently he celebrates his birthday week. Trying to make a push to make the playoffs, Donnie, and we've got, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And apparently the Pacers can't win even against the San Antonio Spurs unless Halliburton is in the lineup. So, all right, lesson learned. Take a note. No Halliburton, no Pacers for me.
Brutal stuff all the way around as the Pacers now are 10-21 on the road. If you take a look at the Spurs, 10-21 at home. Pop finally has their ear. Well, probably would like more losses there to get more ping pong balls, but that's a W for the Spurs. Let's move on to some late night action here. A big game out on the West Coast at Golden State. It was the Clippers and the Warriors. If you take a look at the half and you said to yourself, all right, Clippers are back here. It's going to be a good solid win. The Warriors are great at home, but you want to get the Warriors before Steph returns. and then the second half happens. And when I say second half, I mean the third quarter actually happened. 42 points for the Warriors, 16 for the Clippers. So you figure they would wake up going into the fourth quarter. 19 points for the Clippers. Joe, they are way too talented to be this bad right now.
Yeah, so what a tale of two halves, though. I mean, they came out in the first half, and you know, the last play before the break was Kawhi Leonard getting a really nice favorable roll for a three, right? And then they go in, mm-hmm. and everything, you're going, all right, here it comes, right? They really got it. They played defense. They held, you know, Golden State to under 50. And then you're going, all right, well, what's Golden State going to do? How are they going to respond? Well, did they respond. They respond all the time, apparently, now in the third quarter at home when they're down. When you go 42-16 in the third, that's called game, set, match. And that's exactly what Golden State called last night.
Amazing stuff, because now you see the Clippers actually in the play-in round as the seventh seed out west. Never thought that would be possible. Quick thoughts here. The Suns are now the fourth seed. The Warriors are now the fifth seed. KD is already back. We're looking at Steph coming back this Sunday. For you, who's going to finish higher in the seedings when we get to the playoffs?
I think Golden State is. I think it is. But I do ultimately think it's Golden State, and call me crazy. But it'll be Phoenix. There's still some. It's only one game with Durant. So let's all settle down. Let's see how this thing comes together. But I know what we're going to get with Golden State here. I know what that team's going to be when Curry gets back.
Golden State has that championship pedigree. Can they get healthy and make a run? We're going to talk more NBA coming up next. Keep it right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The calendar does say March, and that typically means March Madness in college basketball, but why not March Madness in the NBA? A 10-game slate here on a Friday night, and a lot of fun to be had. Let's dig in right now. Magic and the Hornets first up here. Might not sound like a great game here, right? The Magic 11-21 on the road. You take a look at the Hornets 11-19 at home. LaMelo Ball certainly not coming back. Broken ankle surgery. He will be out for the year. But let's take a look at this game and line it up, Joe Ranieri, because how about this? The Orlando Magic favored by 3.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook on the road against the Hornets. A total in this one listed at 228. Anticipated starting lineups tonight. First for the Orlando Magic, Fultz, Harris, Wagner, Banchero, and Carter Jr. And then for the Hornets, that would be Rozier, Oubre, Hayward, JT Thor, and Mark Williams. I know these two teams basically now playing for ping pong balls, but do we have an advantage? And how about this? The young Magic road tested here and favorites. What gives tonight?
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. I mean, backing the Magic as a dog is one thing. Backing the Magic as a favorite is a whole different animal. But I will say this, all the quotes coming out of Orlando, they're not happy. They're not happy because they've, I think now for three straight, they've given up more than 120 points in each of those there, Donnie. So they are not happy with the level of defense they're playing, and which is good. That means the competitiveness. Cole Anthony came out and said, yeah, we're pissed, and we plan on taking out our anger on Charlotte. So Orlando is not thinking ping pong balls or draft picks or anything else. They are thinking, let's win games and let's get better, which is great. And Charlotte, it's not like they haven't played without Ball before. I mean, he's gone these ridiculous stretches without them being there. So, you know, they had a 5-game winning streak prior to him going down. They lost the last game, obviously, but I don't know. The home team, who's not, this isn't rare air that they're breathing because Ball's not on the team here. They've done this a lot over the last two seasons there, Donnie. So I don't know. Another one of these great in-game betting situations. Let's see how it plays. But both teams seem bent on getting back on track, which, you know what? That makes for some competitive basketball here tonight.
Yeah, it does. Certainly something to keep an eye on here. We'll see how Bancaro does. His points prop here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. 20.5 points. Let's move it down. Playoff implications in this one. The Trailblazers on the road to take on the Atlanta Hawks. The Trailblazers on the season, their road record, 12-18. If we take a look at the Hawks, 17-13 at home. Dame Lillard, Trae Young, obviously going to be on center stage. Heavy favorite here for the Hawks at home. A -6.5 point spread at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and something I always love. A 239.5 as a total that's listed here for this one. Dame Lillard, always center stage, 36.5 points as a road player here on the FanDuel Sportsbook if he wants to meet his player points prop. What gives tonight here? The Trailblazers fighting for their playoff lives. Atlanta looking to get right again.
Just give me the over. I mean, really? How does this thing not land in the 250s here, Don? I mean, Trae Young is going 30 plus in what? Last three. Lillard's dropping 71 and 40. And go over. You throw in DeJounte Murray. How is this thing not going to land? The first time, Donnie, I believe they played, it was in Portland and it was mid 250s. So how am I not getting that again here on what? Is Atlanta somehow going to play defense? Or what? Is Portland going to play? No. It's going to be the Lillard show. It's going to be Trae Young. It's going to be absolutely entertaining, but this is not going to be a low scoring affair here. So my initial thought was absolutely give me the over.
Dame Lillard was 37.5 for his points prop in the previous game, fresh off of that 71-point effort. Didn't hit that. Looked like he was on pace to after 15 points in the first quarter. He's listed at 36.5 in this game. Again, just from a betting perspective, are these numbers that you just take under and say, boy, he's got to have an epic night, which basically means 40 points to cash those in? And also, does your maybe opinion change when Dame Lillard is at home in Portland as opposed to going on the road with these big numbers?
Well, it has been. I mean, there is certainly a difference between Dame in Portland, Dame on the road. But the reality, it's just a matter of usage, really. I mean, when you look at the usage numbers for Dame, regardless home or away, he spent most of the first half of the season trying to do a great job of getting everyone else involved, right? Making sure that it just wasn't Dame. But he's at that point in the season now where he knows if he don't carry it, their chances of getting anything done are just not going to be there. So, I think Lillard played that role, but now when he's averaging, 32, 33 on the year, I think games like this on the road, it's going to cut. They want the ball in his hands in the third and fourth quarter, and I think that's exactly what they're going to get. He dropped 42 the first game. We'll see if he can match that here tonight.
Yeah, if Dame can get them to the playoffs, how much gas left in the tank will he have once they get there? And hopefully, it's a play-in
Stop
round
me
game.
Stop me if you've
so
heard that
more
before.
Expended effort. Exactly. Hey, yeah. Dame had 45 points. Wasn't enough. And, 22 points. And there they go. The Blazers losing by double digits again. That's typically what happens. Let's take a look at the Northeast here tonight. The Nets and the Celtics. The Celtics coming in this game 25-7 at home. Very good. And also, as we keep pointing out here, fighting for that number one overall seed with the Milwaukee Bucks. They're favored by double digits in this game tonight. If we line it up and take a look at what makes sense, 11 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a 228 as a listed total. Anticipated starting lineups tonight here for Boston. Smart, Brown, Tatum, Horford, and Williams. So it looks like a full go lineup. Can the Nets stop that slide? Because that cushion that they built up before all the trades went down, slightly eroding away here, Joe.
Yeah, 6 of last 7 they've lost, 7-18 over the last 25, that being, of course, the Brooklyn Nets. And what'd they give up, 81 points in the first half against the Knicks here, which is, I believe, the most the Nets in either Brooklyn or New Jersey had ever allowed in one half. So they are making records there with this team, Donnie, which is, that's a record anybody wants. But hey, I don't see how any of that is going to change tonight against Boston at home. I do think that it's interesting to bring that up because why are we not just breaking this game down into halves? Like, give me the Celtics at home in the first half and wait to see if there's an opportunity here when this game goes on tonight, Donnie, that we can be gluttonous and hammer them in the second half too as well. I don't think Brooklyn is going to be this bad for the rest of the year. I do think there's going to be a point where they're going to figure some things out. I just don't know being on the road against the Celtics at this point is where it's going to happen.
Yeah, getting acclimated, that learning curve here, getting a bunch of new guys in the building, trying to figure things out. They did have that playoff cushion, which they still technically are in the playoffs if it started today. Hopefully they get it done sooner than later for the Nets, but also that's going to be a tough task. Not exactly a pick'em game in Boston tonight. They are double-digit underdogs. The Knicks and the Heat here. Talk about that learning curve. Maybe that learning curve, the Knicks are sitting right on top of that curve because they are red hot. They're going to take on the Miami Heat tonight. The Knicks 18-12 on the road. If we line this one up, -2.5 as a road favorite here for the Knicks over the Miami Heat. A 215.5 would look extremely low, but that's the way the Miami Heat like to get down. What are we looking at tonight? Can the Knicks storm the court once again and pull another victory away? They're red hot.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat 19-11 at home this year. They're 8-2 in their last 10 at home. So they certainly they're not going to be, they're going to be run out of their own building here. They are going to have an opportunity to get one. And the fact that they're getting points here, a lot of this is going to come down to injury, right? Jimmy Butler left that last game, I believe, with knee soreness there against Philadelphia, right? And we know that Lowry, I don't know where Lowry's been. He's missed 10 straight games, so this is a team that has been trying to mix and match here, which is what it feels like they've been doing for the last couple of years. It's kind of hard to not take the points with the home team, but Jimmy Butler being questionable is always a head scratcher here. And I have no desire to get in front of this Knicks train right now with how well they've been playing home and road. So I'm just going to wait and see until exactly I have a better understanding who's in for the Heat and who is out. But they have an opportunity as a dog at home to be able to get this job done.
Yeah, the FanDuel Sportsbook opened this game up as a -1.5-point favorite for the Knicks. Now it sits at 2.5. And, of course, if we're looking at a Jimmy Butler possibly missing this performance, that might be on the rise even higher. The total, again, 215.5. That's typical for the Miami Heat. If we're looking from a Knicks perspective at the FanDuel Sportsbook and just on the player props, particularly scoring, it's interesting tonight because Julius Randle listed at 24.5. Jalen Brunson listed at 24.5. Now, oh, in the past, I used to look at Miami Heat games, Joe, and say, you know what? Even if I like a prop, I just stay away. Because, again, we're not talking about 239.5 as a total. It's 215 for a reason. But if I had to give you a 50-50 chance, who are you taking tonight, Randle or Brunson, with the better chance to get over his 24.5?
So it's a good question, and I think you have to look at, well, who is going to be guarding Randle, who's going to be guarding Brunson, right? So where is Jimmy Butler going to go? Because I think Bam is going to be more on Randle, and if that's the case, I would much rather have a Brunson, because if Jimmy's not going, I think Brunson's going to have all the opportunities in the world here tonight. But I think Randle, he's going to have to deal with Adebayo, which is not great news for him here tonight.
Yeah, you're hoping for a bounce-back performance for the Miami Heat after that game, which they were terrible against the Sixers without Embiid. Can't afford to lose too many games and hang around in that competitive playoff race. Another game we're going to talk about just after the break here. The Suns and the Bulls. My goodness. The Avalanche to bet the Suns. Is it happening right now? Come on back and find out. We'll break it all down right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday morning here on the Early Line. No better place to be. It's Joe Neary. It's Donnie Wrightside, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. Some say, Joe, you get too close to the sun, you might get burned. Well, how about tonight? Bettors might feel the same thing. The Suns and the Bulls. Now, if we look at the Suns' record, 34-29, their road record 13-19, but this team now is full go with Hall of Famers all over the place. So why would you want to bet against them? Is it too easy? Well, that's why we hang lines and handicap these games. The Suns on the road here, a 5.5-point favorite over the Chicago Bulls, a total listed at 220 22 in this one. If we're looking at the anticipated starting lineups, we saw last game, Kevin Durant made his return to the Phoenix Suns, and the worry is, ooh, I wonder if he plays the second game or they take a chance to give him a maintenance day to evaluate how his leg actually feels. Well, that lineup tonight looks like it's going to be Paul, Booker, Okogie, Durant, and Ayton full go tonight. Let's break this one down. Bulls and the Suns, Joe.
Yeah, it feels like a spot we should probably concentrate on the Chicago Bulls because everybody is going to be jumping on the Phoenix Suns bandwagon here. It was confirmed that Durant was on a minutes restriction in that game. So we do know that the next game over the weekend is in Dallas, right? So it looks like that is maybe, just maybe, there'd be more interest in making sure Durant's ready to roll against Dallas than it is against Chicago. But you never know. Again, if he goes out and he only plays 16, 17, maybe 20 minutes in this game tonight, no harm, no foul. But I wouldn't necessarily sleep on Chicago in this one because we know the number is going to be a little bit overvalued here for the Suns on the road at nearly, over two possessions. Like, come on. Anything can happen.
You know, it's interesting about that, too, because if we hear about a minutes restriction in game number one, that points prop there for Kevin Durant closed at 20 and a half. He did go over that. He played 27 minutes. What was the minutes restriction? Don't play him every single minute in the game. It'll be interesting to see if there's actually a time limit for him in this second game back. But if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, again, all eyes on Kevin Durant, he's now listed at 23 and a half. So in the first game where I actually really liked the 20 and a half, saying first game back, he's not just running up and down the court. He's going to want to get involved. That price point gets a little bit higher, but it is always nerve-wracking where you see a guy, let's just say in the second half, he's close to 25 minutes, Joe. He's got 22 points. You're like, ooh, does he get back in the game for this one to try to bet it? So a little bit more tricky because it's 20 and a half, now it's 23 and a half, an extra couple buckets. That's what he's going to need. But how about from a Bulls perspective here? Patrick Beverley in town. They're sort of turning that tide. I believe they've won their last three out of four games. This could be a big-time statement game for the Chicago Bulls here.
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, they've got dudes who can score on Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And Pat Beverley and Caruso on the court, they are all of a sudden defensively playing the kind of basketball Billy Donovan wants them to play here. So they're trying to get some wins here. They're way more desperate for wins than what the Phoenix Suns are here at this point. So I do think it's going to be an intriguing style of games here because of the Durant factor, still trying to figure some things out. But Beverley and Caruso and, you got LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. You got some guys that are going to go out there and be like, we don't really care. We need to win some games at home. I think the Bulls are not going to be an easy out here tonight for the Phoenix Suns.
If I gave you that prop at 23 and a half for Kevin Durant, free wager, are you going over, Joe, or under that points prop tonight for him?
I might look towards the under here. Simply because there are going to be some dudes all over. He's going to have to exert, I think, a lot more energy against the Bulls tonight than maybe they care for him to do at this point.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens. But in that first game early in the morning when we were talking about Kevin Durant coming back, like, man, I'm not going anywhere near that 20 and a half. And then later in the day, I was like, come on now. If he gets 20 minutes in this game, he is going to be firing. And he did. We'll see if he can do that in the second game now in a Suns uniform. Fighting for wins, not necessarily in the game we're going to talk about now. The Jazz and the Thunder. The Jazz come in 11 and 19 on the road. The Thunder actually 17 and 15 at home. If we line this up, the Jazz coming in as a road favorite here, Joe. -1.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a total listed at 234. We always like to look at the starting lineups, particularly from an Oklahoma Thunder perspective. Giddy, Dort, Williams, Robinson, Earl. No SGA planned here. Utah is still, I guess, fighting for a playoff spot, even though it seems like they don't care about one, where the Jazz, want to win. The Thunder, maybe not so much. Light number here, but it is a road game, and you saw that record for the OKC Thunder. They'll fight you at home.
Yeah, no, they absolutely will. And the question is, what is the status of, SGA? Is he going? Is he not going? It looks like he's still listed as out. So Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson still out here for Utah. So both teams have played shorthanded here since the All-Star break. But, boy, I mean, watching this Utah team over the last three or four games, they're averaging about 20 turnovers a game, Donnie. And if you turn the ball over 20 times, even against OKC, you ain't winning anything. And that's why they lost to San Antonio in that last game. You can't have 20 turnovers and expect and give, NBA teams easy buckets and expect to walk away with a victory. So if they don't cut down on the turnovers, you know, OKC is not going to want to play a half-court game. They're going to want to go out and run. So is Utah. So maybe the best way to look at this is just give me all the points you want here. Give me the over in it.
Yeah, Josh Giddey, two nights ago, I bet him, didn't show up. I don't bet him the following night, and he shows up. Yep. That's the way it is when you try to bet some of these props here for OKC. We'll see what happens in Jazz Thunder. Let's turn up the gas now. It's Friday night. It's time to get paid and have some fun. Grizzlies and the Nuggets. The Grizzlies on the road, 12-18, a sensational home team, but certainly not on the road. Let's talk about the Nuggets, leaders in the Western Conference right now, that number one overall seed, maybe also a three-time MVP here, Nikola Jokic. They're 28-4 at home. If we set the table for this one, Grizzlies come in. They're getting 4.5 points on the road. The total listed at 233. Superstars on both sides. Is it just so simple to say, hold on now, Denver's at home. We always take Denver at home. Is it that easy, Joe Ranieri?
No, it's not just Denver at home. It's Memphis on the road. That's the key here. So I have absolutely no desire to back Memphis on the road in any capacity here. And I mean, granted, they beat Denver by what, almost 20 points there on Saturday, but that was on their home court. Now Denver home. Gordon looks like he is back in, ready to go. Murray will be ready to go. Porter Jr. Yeah, to me, this is all Denver Nuggets here. I don't see Memphis taking that same kind of energy and effort that they had on Saturday at home and handing the Denver Nuggets all sorts of issues here tonight. Don't see it happening. It's all Denver for me.
Recording a triple-double, it used to be, let's just say 20 years ago, it would lead SportsCenter. Wow, did you see that? Magic Johnson had a triple-double. Isn't that amazing? Nikola Jokic is a center, Joe Ranieri. Go to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now and say, yeah, there's a really good possibility he's going to get a triple-double tonight. What's that payout? 4-1, 3-1, 2-1. How about, Joe, -105?
Crazy. Absolutely crazy here. The man is an absolute beast. And what, this would be his third, right? Three in a row now. I think the last person to get three MVPs is Bird, I think was the last one, Larry Bird. So, and by the way, he's averaging a triple-double this year, guys. 25, 12, and 10 a game. So he's also shooting 64% from the field. So yeah, find me another MVP. I dare you. Unreal.
From the center position doing all that damage. That is going to be a fun one to watch. Pelicans and the Warriors out west. Another really good home team. The Warriors, 26-7. Back to back here going up against the Pelicans, who are fighting for their lives also to try to stay in this playoff race. The Pelicans on the road, 11-21. The Warriors, as we stated, a very good home team at 26-7. If we're looking at the lines for this game tonight, slight favorite here for the Warriors at home at a -4.5, a total of 227.5. It's always interesting to try to check those starting lineups on back-to-backs if they do hold up. But at the same time, from a Pelicans perspective here, I mean, we're just waiting on Zion. Is he coming back? Is he not? Do you trust him? I mean, they have talent. If you can get McCollum, Ingram, and Zion back on the court, you might be looking at one of those teams you don't want to mess with in the playoffs. But if Zion doesn't come back, it's just a normal squad here in the NBA.
Yeah, no Valanciunas as well. He looking doubtful again. Josh Richardson's been banged up. Jose Alvarado, he's been out. So they are dealing with some injuries here, and it's starting to get to be the point where Ingram's got to drop 40 for them to have a chance, right? Him and McCollum. So it'll be interesting to see who lands on the Golden State Warrior, possibly resting book here. They don't have a ton of options. Will Klay go? Will he not go? But Golden State's getting to the point where, especially at home, they're much easier to bet live because they usually start slow, Donnie, and they finish big. Mm-hmm. But The key to me is Draymond going? Is Klay going on the second of a back-to-back here? If they're not, I think this is all Pelicans here tonight to get one and get it going, because Steph won't be back till the weekend, if at all. So I do think we might get a little bit of resting here tonight from this Warriors squad.
Be interesting to watch, because they are the favorite tent, and you're right, Steph coming back on the horizon here, so that full go effort for that playoff stretch run here, we'll see if it makes some sense. The Clippers, they're looking to get right, maybe not so much. In the past, you say, how do you get right? Just play the Kings anywhere, home, away, it doesn't matter, you'll smoke them. That's not the case anymore. The Kings, 18-12 at home, and if we're looking at anticipated starting lineups tonight for the Clippers, Westbrook, Gordon, George, Morris, and Zubac, which means Kawhi Leonard probably going to get a maintenance day off tonight. If we're looking at lines, the Sacramento Kings, -6, a high total of 242. Now, sometimes when you get embarrassed or you didn't play so well and you're looking to turn things around, you don't want to have 3 or 4 days off. You want to get right back on the court. I don't know if that's going to help the Clippers tonight, Joe.
No, it's not. But keep an eye on, you got De'Aaron Fox and Rashawn Holmes listed as questionable for Sacramento. True. So that would be a an intriguing non-start here, because Sacramento is certainly not the same offensive team without De'Aaron Fox on the court. So keep an eye. I have no doubt. They're already listing Kawhi is doubtful, so he'll get the rest day. Paul George was in foul trouble with about 7 minutes to go in the third still last night. He picked up his fourth foul, so he was on the bench, and really at that particular point, it was game over anyway. So Paul George will be a little more rested than usual here, and the Clippers' urgency here. But if they have their full complement, including De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento, not me. I ain't getting in front of that at home. Can't trust the Clippers here.
Let's keep it in the state of California. Urgency again. The Timberwolves and the Lakers. How about this? T-Wolves come into town to take on the Lakers at Crypto.com Arena. They're a -1 point favorite here as a road team at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 228.5 as a total listed. No LeBron James. Looks like we will get back Anthony Davis. Will that be enough quickly here for the Lakers to take down the T-Wolves?
Nope. It will not. Is that quick enough? Ain't going to happen. Yep, no. Give me Minnesota. They've been hanging out there, right? They just took on the Clippers and beat them. So, yeah, I got no problem back in Minnesota here.
Don't worry, Laker fans. LeBron James, he might be back in 3 weeks to save the season. Yeah. Your season might be over in 3 weeks' time, so certainly something to keep an eye on. But let's turn it over to the NFL. One quick segment here before we get to hour number two. McCarthy says, hey, we can't have a passing offense. We want to run the football. What? Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment here before we hit hour number two. It's always a good time to sneak in some football talk. Dallas Cowboys here. Why are they actually being talked about? Well, when aren't they being talked about is quite frankly a better question. McCarthy seems like, you know what? I run this team here and I wasn't happy with the way Kellen Moore ran my top five offense. So I want to take more control. Joe Ranieri, he says, I want to, quote, run the damn ball as if it's 1985. I knew there was a reason Jerry Jones loved Mike McCarthy, because it's apparent that he would like Zeke to get every touch on that offense, regardless of how much better Tony Pollard and more explosive Tony Pollard actually is. What are we doing with the Dallas Cowboys, where the head coach is now taking over, going, the reason I got rid of my young phenom coordinator is we want to run more? What's the deal?
Well, I think McCarthy was saying it from the standpoint of he wanted to run the ball because he thinks he gassed out his defense, which there is some truth to that, because if all you're doing is, I mean, which is fun, you keep dropping guys back left and, dropping Dak back and let's throw it. And Dak wants to, throw for 9,000 yards and all that's all great and all. But if you can't leave your defense the opportunity to get, catch themselves on the sideline there, that's a problem. So I think he was saying there was far too many situations in which would have been a lot better to be able to run the ball, stretch the clock out a little bit, give the defense a break instead of three quick passes, and now the defense is back on the field. And that's kind of what he was saying, is that Kellen Moore didn't really take that into consideration a lot of times when calling plays. They wanted home runs every time. They weren't interested in going for singles.
Ah, so how about this? Maybe some underlying value here saying, hey, Dak, you threw a lot of interceptions. You know how to get less interceptions out of you? We'll just run the football even more here. The Dallas Cowboys, always front and center, even if we don't exactly know what they're actually doing. It's March Madness, college basketball on the horizon, and also hour number two coming up next. Let's review what happened last night in college basketball. Come on back. Ooh.